And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
To look at pictures on the radio.
Raising $1 million is no problem.
It doesn't ruin your vision like a TV show.
Watch out, he's got a knife.
Practice yoga on the ground.
Or get up and walk around.
You can do it when you're listening to the radio.
Hello, I'm the Lone Ranger.
Hello.
You can shave or wash your hair while the show is on the air. You can cook up a fondue and we still be coming through. You can stay in bed and you'll find we don't care at all. Just as long as you keep listening to the radio.
The Megaphone Newsreel marches around the nation.
And it is my pleasure to welcome our radio audience to tonight's classic of the contemporary drama.
Same with smoke and reefer on the radio. While we're reading, eating cookies, and you never know.
We could tell you we look great when we're really overweight.
You can get away with so much on the radio.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Yoni Mitchell.
Tell them what you look like on the radio. If they never see you, then they'll never know.
Doesn't matter if you ask me,
because they'll never know exactly
what you look like when they listen to the radio.
Keep my shirt swaying.
R-A-D-I-O.
Television.
R-A-D-I-O.
Wearing London.
R-A-D-I-O.
All back in cleaners.
R-A-D-I-O.
You get the picture?
R-A-D-I-O.
Thank you, Marconi.
Hi, I'm Joe St. John, and I am so thrilled to be a guest hostess of this, the very first National Lampoon Radio Hour. I can hardly talk. We have some pretty special guest stars lined up for tonight, and I'll introduce them just as soon as we hear about a new way to keep your bathroom bowl gleaming.
Primal Time. Each of the three following Primal Screams belongs to one of your favorite celebrities. It might be a politician, actor, sports figure, a well-known radio or TV personality, perhaps someone in the arts. And the question is, can you identify the mystery Primals? If you can, you could win $98 here on the Big 98. Listen carefully because the screams will not be repeated. Here's mystery Primal number one. Number two. And number three. I'd like to remind our audience that all screams used on the show have been previously certified as authentic primals by a qualified West Coast therapist. All the subjects of our Mystery Primal contest were in deep psychic pain, and their screams were recorded at the precise moment when, through therapy, they were able to truly feel that pain for the first time. Now, let's go to the phones. We have a Mrs. Ellen Berman on the phone. Hello? Hello, Mrs. Berman. Would you mind turning down your radio? That's better, Mrs. Berman. Who do you think is our first Mystery Primal? Oh, I'm afraid Leonard Bernstein is incorrect. Thank you, Mrs. Berman.
You have only one God. We have 330 million. Our gods have blue skin and ride peacocks. They have costly jewels embedded in their teeth. To honor them, holy men fasten living serpents to their flesh. There are those who place seeds in their mouth and remain motionless until the seeds sprout. With my own eyes, I have seen a man who has rolled upon the ground for 9 years.
Okay, anytime.
Raising $1 million is no problem, but it's wrong.
Not bad, Mr. President, but let's try it again with a little more feeling this time. Let's be a little more convincing.
I can't help it if I didn't sound convincing. That's just the way I talk.
Well, actually, Mr. President, the raising $1 million part was very convincing. But it's wrong part that needs some work.
I see.
Just relax, Mr. President. You'll be fine.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I am a little nervous. I'm not used to talking into a microphone that I can see.
Forget the microphone, Mr. President. Just pretend you're back in the Oval Office having a casual conversation.
How do you expect me to forget about the microphone if you want me to pretend I'm back in the Oval Office? Can't we camouflage it somehow, wrap vines around it or something?
I don't think so, Mr. President. That's a boom mic. They're pretty hard to hide. Just place yourself in my hands and let me do all the work. I've been doing this sort of thing for years.
For other presidents?
No, I used to produce Babbo commercials for HR Becker J. Walter. Okay, Mr. President, now let's try it again. Stand by. March 21st meeting with John Dean. Take 377.
Raising $1 million is no problem. But it's wrong. How was that one?
Better, Mr. President, but not quite indignant enough. Try hitting the word wrong a little harder. But it's wrong.
But it's wrong.
Okay, let's try it again. Stand by. March 21st meeting with John Dean. Take 378.
Raising $1 million is no problem. But it's wrong.
I have an idea, Mr. President. You've got that raising $1 million part down pretty well. And we really don't need it because it's on the original. So why don't we just concentrate on the but it's wrong. Now remember, you're the President of the United States, the highest office holder in the land.
The most powerful man in the world.
That's right, elected to the presidency in a landslide.
Second largest in history.
Right, and you're sitting in the Oval Office, and your chief counsel has just informed you that you're being blackmailed to the tune of $1 million. Okay, let's go. Stand by, March 21st meeting with John Dean, Wildline, take 379.
Raising $1 million is no problem.
Mr. President...
I know, but it's wrong. I just forgot.
Okay, let's try it again. Stand by. March 21st meeting with John Dean.
Does he have to say that every time?
Not if it makes you nervous, Mr. President. Okay, let's go.
Raising no, wait. But it's wrong.
I think we have enough, Mr. President. We're going to play back the tape and see how it sounds with music.
With music?
Right, Mr. President, music. Music can really make a difference, especially when you have a lousy product. And the music we're using can't miss.
Raising $1 million is no problem. But it's wrong.
We don't know.
7. 3 to kick him in the seat of the pants, 2 to punch him in the nose, and 2 to poke him in the throat with a cane. Thank you.
Reporting in the Mideast conflict, this is correspondent Michael O'Donnell somewhere in the Sherry Netherland Hotel. From my vantage point, I can make out a small group of fashionably garbed men and women having a drink in what would appear to be a rather stylish bar, apparently unfazed by the fierce battle that is raging a scant 12,000 and some odd miles away. I'm going to move in closer now and see if we might have a word with one of them. Excuse me. Pardon me, sir. I was wondering if you might comment on the outcome of today's fighting.
Fighting? What fighting?
Well, there you have it. An atmosphere of quiet yet resolute disinterest hangs over the hotel here as Israeli forces drive deep into Egypt. And now back to Roger Mudd in the studio. Roger?
The other day I heard a certain Irish friend of mine discussing what is going on out there in Palestine. Too bad it is, as I said he, it has to be this way. And speaking strictly neutrally, here's all I have to say. The Jews have got their Irish up, and nothing has gone to hold them down. Instead of singing ailey, ailey, they are swinging a shillelagh like we did in dear old Dublin town. The Jews, who've nothing more to lose, are tired of being kicked around. They're fighting for their home, and be it Finkelstein or Flynn, the man who's fighting for his home is a man who's got to win. The Jews have got their Irish up, and nothing is going to hold them down. Their Irish up, and nothing is going to hold them down. Instead of singing ailey, ailey, they are swinging a shillelagh like we did in dear old Dublin town. The Jews, who've nothing more to lose, are tired of being kicked around. They're fighting for their home, and be it Finkelstein or Flynn, the man who's fighting for his home is a man who's got to win. The Jews have got their Irish up, and nothing is going to hold them down. I'll say it again. Nothing is going to hold them down.
Mr. Melendez, is it? All right, Mr. Melendez. And who is our first mystery primal? Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Helen Hayes was the answer to one of last week's mystery primals. Too bad, Mr. Melendez. Melendez, better luck next time.
Good evening. My name is Roger DeSwans, and it is my pleasure to welcome our radio audience to tonight's classic of the contemporary drama, Waiting for Godot, by Samuel Beckett. Waiting for Godot, or En Entendant Godot, as it was first titled, for Beckett, an Irishman, wrote his play in French, is the most famous, and many would maintain, the finest play by the Nobel Prize-winning author of Kraft's Last Tape, Endgame, and Molloy Dies. But it is for Godot a work of soaring, searching genius, a bittersweet, ironic, compassionate celebration of the human spirit that Beckett will be remembered. In the next 2 hours, we shall experience, through the sometimes poignant and often amusing conversation between two almost Chaplinesque tramps, Vladimir, or Didi, and Estragon, or Gogo, the angst of modern alienated man, the inability to communicate the despair of a world for which God is dead, the hell which is, as Sartre observes, les autres, and yet the aspiring, questing, unquenchable flame in the human heart, which is, after all, hope. The curtain rises on a stage bare, save for a stark and leafless tree, beneath which Didi is removing his shoes. Gogo enters and watches for a long while before speaking.
Nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come around to that opinion. Let's go.
We can't.
Why not?
We're waiting for Godot.
Ah. Are you sure it was here by the tree? By this tree?
Are there others?
What do we do if he doesn't come?
He should be here. Ah, here he comes.
Godot.
Godot.
Hi.
I'm sorry I'm late.
all right.
Were you waiting long?
Oh, wow.
The damn bus never came. I waited and waited. Yeah. Wound up taking a cab. I didn't even think I had enough money.
I see.
Oh, it's great to see you guys again. Oh,
how you doing?
Diddy, brother, wait, huh?
Yeah,
you're married now?
Yep.
How long?
Almost a year now.
Almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a year. Hey, we better get going.
Next week on Fontvrault Center, the world premiere of a new rock opera based on E.M. Forster's Passage to India, with music, lyrics, and additional dialogue by George Harrison.
While you've been listening to that very important announcement from the Tip Top folks, we've been taking some more mystery primal calls. And so far, nobody has guessed the identity of any of our screamers. So that means that the jackpot is still up for grabs. Our switchboard tells me that several people have called up to suggest Pablo Picasso. Now, Picasso is dead. I should tell you right now that all of our mystery primals are alive today. All right, I have Mr. Arthur Chapin on the phone. Mr. Chapin, who would you say is mystery primal number one? Go on, Mr. Chapin, take a stab at it. No, Mr. Wait a minute, Mr. Chapin, are you changing your answer in midstream or what? I take it your final answer is Lawrence Durrell. And it's wrong, Mr. Chapin. The poet, Lawrence Durrell, is not one of our screamers this week.
You are listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Good morning, ladies. Once again, it's time for Chit Chat with Pat, the lively coffee clutch of the air where Pat Nixon, our first homemaker of the land, invites you for a lively half hour of incoherent ramblings from a woman's point of view. This portion of Chit Chat with Pat is brought to you by Helena Frankenstein, makers of Nasaline, the revolting white petroleum jelly for burns, minor abrasions, and you know what. And now, without further ado, here's Pat.
Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Pat. Say, that's quite a becoming car coat you're wearing today.
Why, thank you, Wayne, you sly dog. But this old thing, just something I ran off out of some old slip covers.
Well, waste not, want not, right, Pat? And those nifty mesh stockings.
I'm not wearing stockings, Wayne.
My mistake. Shall we tell our listeners what's on tap for today?
You bet, Wayne. Today we're going to learn a new recipe for my special orange chapstick surprise, find out how to reuse those old scuzzy dress shields, and later on in the program, we'll be talking to Mrs. Florence Nesbitt of Montreal, Canada, the first woman to topple the government of a banana republic at home in her spare time.
Sounds exciting.
Yes, it certainly does. But right now, it's time for teen talk. Shall we open our mail and see what our younger listeners have to say?
Sure thing, Pat. Our first letter on teen talk comes in from a young fellow in Cleveland, Ohio. He writes, "Dear Pat, will you set my dad straight about pop music? One night, completely by accident, I fell asleep in my room, and the needle on my stereo stuck and played We're an American Band full blast about 60 jillion times. Well, finally, my father kicked down the door, smashed my app with a ball-peen hammer, blew in my speakers with his 12-gauge, and force-fed my record collection down the incinerator. Now, he says if he hears so much as one more Shabbat Shabbat, he's going to wash my ears out with a power drill. What do you think is right?" It's signed, P.O.'d.
Dear P.O.'d, frankly, your father is in the groove, and you are the one who is off the track. A recent study of race music done at prestigious Bob Jones University has found a direct link between psychological dependence upon these animalistic jungle rhythms and serious addiction to the harder stuff. For example, teens who habitually groove to relatively harmless doses of Crosby, Seals, and Messina soon graduate to lethal amounts of Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. After that, it's all downhill. The report also came up with some frightening statistics, Wayne. For example, did you know that last year over 3 million young adults suffered permanent brain death from listening to a single playing of Louie Louie?
Staggering.
You said a mouthful, Wayne. Why, my own daughter Tricia got one of those stereoptical pornographs for Christmas, and now she couldn't win a game of Scrabble with a cherry stone clamp.
Horrible.
Particularly if you're the one who has to clean up after her. Drool all over the carpets. Anyway, my advice to P.O. is to kick the habit before it's too late. Try switching to the safe and sane lilt of real artists like the Johnny Mansingers, the new Crunchy Monsters.
The new Christy Minstrels.
Oh, that's it. That marvelous Fig Newton person. That other stuff. That's not music. It's noise.
Sound advice, Pat.
Eat my shirts, Wayne.
Our next letter comes from Miss Terry Scooterpie of Rochester, New York. "Dear Pat," she begins, "I am a teen in trouble. I've been dating a boy steadily for 3 years, and when he gets out of the service, we intend to get married and lead a pointless life in some stupid suburb just like our uptight Nazi parents. Just to give you an example, I've already collected a complete set of Tupperware and have a pair of pink plastic lawn flamingos ready and waiting in the attic. However, there's one hitch. My boyfriend says if I really loved him, I'd be more affectionate. You know, put out. My boyfriend says if I do, it will keep him from getting so many colds and will help him stay alert when on duty so he won't get run over by a tank. Do you think I should come across with the goodies, I mean? He says that you wouldn't buy a pair of shoes without trying them on first, and his old man is a big deal district sales manager for Flag Brothers. So maybe he should know, right?
Wrong, Terry. It's no secret that men are only after one thing, and we know what thing we're talking about, don't we? What I bet you didn't know was that a recent study done at McDonald's University has found a direct link between heavy petting and hives, stuttering, ritual murder, and poor marks. Mind you, I'm not even going to mention the fast-acting nerve poison the boy involuntarily secretes from every lymph gland in his body when he's hot under the collar, if you know what I mean. And from the spelling mistakes in your letter, I'm afraid you already do. My advice to you, young lady, is to keep your head together, as you young people put it, and your legs as well. You may also tell that sex-deranged boyfriend of yours that that old pair of shoes routine is a lot of bunk and hooey. Before I was finally married, I tried on so many I've got flat feet, if you know what I mean.
I'm sure she does, Pat.
Just keep reading, fruit.
This one comes from a young listener in Encino, California, who has a real hang-up. Dear Pat, my name is Teddy Phillips, and I'm 8 years old. I listen to Teen Talk every day after school, and I think you are really tops, although I think that Wayne guy is sort of a fruit. Well, anyway, last night, my parents went out and left me with this neat new babysitter who changed her name from Shirley to Safflower and shaves her head and makes candles and doesn't even wear underpants anymore. She had some of these keen little candies that looked like M&Ms, but I think she called them by some other letters, and she gave me a whole bunch to eat for supper. After a while, I began to feel sort of sick and weird, and then all of a sudden, the TV and the furniture and everything started to get kind of wavy and fuzzy around the edges. And then there was this incredible, soundless explosion of shimmering phosphorescence around me, and the whole room seemed to pulse with a beautiful, unearthly melody that produced in me what I can now only describe as feelings of ecstasy and a calm acceptance of the great, unchanging oneness of the cosmos. Anyway, while climbing on the monkey bars at recess the next day, it occurred to me that the entire experience of the evening before might be as illusory as it was transitory. By this I simply mean that my realization of myself as an entity, completely divorced from my ego, may have been, in itself, only another extension of that same ego, and hence only another, subtler obstacle to our common timeless quest for ultimate peace. Can you tell me the answer to this problem?
You bet your boots I can, young man. The answer is well-balanced meals. As a mother of two pert and perky daughters, I can't tell you how easy it is to be led down the primrose path of between-meal snacking. Those sugary treats that babysitter gave you may produce a brief burst of quick energy, but that lift you may feel is hardly sound nutrition. There is no substitute for good dietary habits in building strong young men and women, especially when combined with a program of healthful exercise and 3 to 5 regular bowel movements daily. Also, Mr. Smarty, how do you know what she wears or doesn't wear, as the case may be? When I was your age, I was interested in more important things.
Like sound nutrition, right, Pat?
Right, Wayne. I think we have time for one more before station break.
Well, here's a cute note from little Laurie Peterson of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And she'd like to know where babies come from. Okay, I have one here from Dennis Epstein of Mount Vernon, Iowa, and his problem seems to be getting to school on time. A lot of us have that problem, right, Pat?
Just read the letter, Wayne.
Dear Pat, a few weeks ago I was taking a shortcut through Mr. Benson's junky old backyard on the way to the school bus stop when he caught me and said he was going to turn me over to the kiddie police for trespassing unless I went into his garage with him. Inside, he showed me a magazine with pictures in it of animals in leather bikinis. Then he made me play a game called Marcus Welby MD, except it wasn't anything like the TV show. Unless, I guess, I must have missed the one where the little boy is so sick with this weird kind of disease that only wearing this, leather bikini will save him. Well, he's waiting for me every morning at the bus stop in his 52 Chevy, and he makes me get into the trunk and go with him to the state park where he makes me get out of the trunk.
All right,
and do
Jerry,
all kinds
kill
of...
Mike. For God's sake, you jerk, you can't leave that kind of filth on the air. The FCC would crucify us. Also, while Mike's off, I'd better warn you. I think Dick's getting suspicious about our late-night script rehearsals. I'm sure my private phone's being tapped, and he might have overheard our conversation last night when you gave me the address of the motel. And not only that, but he thinks the investigating committee is finally getting what really happened to that airliner Hunt's wife was on.
Oh.
And if they ever make the connection between that and the you-know-what in Chile, we'll really be up.
Are ye talking to into a Ivley?
Well, that old Mr. Clock on the wall says it's getting on toward news time, and we have to say ta-ta, toodaloo, till tomorrow when, if I'm not mistaken, Pat, we've got another pretty exciting show lined up, right?
Right you are, Wayne. Tomorrow on Chit Chat with Pat, you'll have more time for teen talk. Find out how to make a colorful patchwork quilt out of damp saltines. Learn my special method for sprinkling capers on Wheaties. And we'll be talking to Mrs. Florence Nesbitt of Montreal, Canada, the first woman to eat an Eskimo.
So, this is Wayne Hackle.
And Pat Nixon.
Reminding you that you can fool some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time.
But you can't fool Mom.
Bye now.
Yes, new fire, new fire, new freedom from care. And that's only part of the beautiful story of the step down Hudson for 49. There's lots more to tell, and we'll be right back after this pause for station identification.
Don't touch that dial. The National Lampoon Radio Hour will be right back after this insincere commercial message written by some cynical Nazi solely for the purpose of ripping off your parents' money.
On XM Comedy 150.
A great thing can't keep on getting better.
I admit it's getting better.
Or can it?
A little better. All the time.
Beginning in February, all of XM's music channels will be 100% commercial free. Plus, we're adding new music channels devoted to top country hits, pop hits from the 60s through today, alternative rock's greatest tracks, and cutting edge punk. All 100% commercial free. And if that isn't enough, beginning March 1st, XM will introduce instant traffic and weather channels powered by Traffic Pulse and the Weather Channel. In-depth, up-to-date, and 24/7, XM will provide the latest road and weather conditions for major metropolitan areas across the nation. There's never been a better time to add another radio or get XM for your friends and family. Go to lineup.xmradio.com to learn more about these upcoming changes.
Honk, honk, why it swabbles the goose.
But oh, what its tongue could do.
More of the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
XM Comedy.
150.
Who is it?
Dr. Baker here.
Oh, Tom, come on in. You're not Tom the Baker. Watch out, he's got a knife. Who are you?
I'm Bob the Rapist.
Oh, Bob.
Oh, Bob.
Here's a clue to the identity of Mystery Primal Number 3.
Mystery Primal Number 3 is a lady with three names.
Is that friend do for what a crazy guy? Always makes us laugh. You know, when your kid, you do anything for there, you hang over the edge of a roof on a board for there. We've seen these guys just trying to get Dufo to hang over the edge of a roof on a board. And we seen a board, it was a little thin board, and we told him it wouldn't hold you, you know? so he's going to do it anyway. What a crazy guy. We used to play roof tag. Everybody has to run over the roofs. And everybody has to run under the wire for ratty or something, I don't know. So anyway, everybody runs under the wire but Doofo gets him right in the neck. What a crazy guy. You know when a guy can't swim, you throw him in the water, he gets scared. We seen this guy couldn't swim, we throw him in the water, and he's getting real scared. So I said on Doofo, hey, pull him on. You know, he's drowning, he's turning blue, everything. So he keeps pushing him in again. What a crazy guy. We used to play backyard race. Everybody has to run across the backyard and climb over the fence, and run across the backyard and climb over the fence, and like that. And whoever gets in him first wins. So there's one backyard, every time we run across, a lady comes out and throws things at us. You know, water, pans, bottles, everything. And her husband gets real mad. He puts up a board with nails in it. So every time we climb over the fence, we have to jump over the nails. So one time he's out climbing over the fence, everybody jumps over the nails but Doofo. 16 stitches. What a crazy guy. We used to take different cars and drive it around. We didn't keep them or anything. You know, some guys sell them. We didn't sell them or anything. We used to park them in front of the police station when we shoot them. Well, we seen his car. It was a 39 Packard, and the keys is in it, so we was driving around. So I said, let's go to Dufo's house. So we went over there and left it out in front, and went inside. And I said, hey, Doofo, there's my car right there. How do you like it? So he says, that ain't your car. You know, he's real dumb. So I told him, sure, here's the keys. I said, go ahead, take his girl for a ride. So he gets in it. He just gets around the corner, and the cops pick him up. He's on 2 years probation. I'll see you around, huh?
Hi there, Mrs. Post. Now, Mrs. Post, what is your answer to the identity of Mystery Primal Number 3? Remember, we've just had a clue that could be very, very helpful. Uh-oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Post. Zsa does not count as a middle name. Zsa Zsa Gabor would be incorrect. Thank you, Mrs. Post.
S-U-S-P-E-N. C. E. Suspense. Yes, once again, it's time for the familiar tap, 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 and quack, quack, quack of No Eyes Hooligan, Blind Detective, and his Seeing Eye Duck, tapping and quacking for truth and justice. When we last saw No Eyes, he was desperately trying to tap his way out of Bensicker's pool hall. Where's my duck? Where's my duck?
Sitting on a cue ball, No Eyes.
Amos. Here, Bonus, come on. That's a good duck. Here's a beef jerky.
Yeah.
Good duck. Come on, let's head back for the office.
I'll be seeing you, No Eyes.
Not if I see you first. Come on, Bonus, let's get out of here. Come on, let's get back to the office, Bonus. You didn't talk at the curb, Boneless. Oh, sure, now. Well, no beef jerky for you this time. I got back to the office, and, as usual, the first thing I did was check my mail. Feels like junk mail to me, Boneless. Well, I'll just toss these out. It's the door, Boneless. Boneless, get away from the door. Boneless, it's no use. I'm opening it. Get away. What? Oh, what is it, Bonus? What are you trying to tell me? All right, whisper it in my ear. Well, why didn't you tell me? How am I supposed to know that's a phone? They sound so much alike. Hello? Hello? Oh, they hung up. That could have been a fat case, Bonus. My lucky day, Bonus. They're calling back. Oh, that's the buzzer. Thanks, Bonus. Coming. Coming. Oh, someday I'm going to have to move that foot wrench. Coming. Coming.
Hiya, No Eyes. Long time no see.
Hey, hiya, Sharpie. Come on in. I want you to meet my new duck, Boneless.
Oh, they all look alike to me, no eyes.
Hey, come on into my office, Sharpie.
See, you haven't moved the coat rack yet, no eyes.
Well, I'll see to it someday. Here, sit down. Hey, you look worried. What's on your mind?
Listen, no eyes, I'm really in a tight spot. I'm the only guy who can put the finger on Big Al Fettuccine, and he's after me, see? So that's why I want you to...
Come in. Oh, that's the phone. Hello? Hello? Wrong one, that one, Dennis. You're slipping. Right, Sharpie? Sharpie? Well, I wonder where he went. No, I know. Time for your walk. Okay, get your leash. Okay, we're going. Well, at least it's a nice day for a walk. Boneless, listen. It's a fire. Guide me to the alarm box. Oh, good duck. Here's a beef jerky. Now, let me see. Here's the leather. I'll just... Maybe I should be here in a minute. Huh? Hey, no eyes. Where's the fire? Right here, man. I hope we're not too late.
No eyes. That's a man crinkling cellophane.
Oh.
Hey, let's beat him up and step on his gun.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. I promise I... Hey, be with us again next week for the further adventures of No Eyes Hooligan, Blind Detective, and his new seeing eye duck.
Hello, is this Gail Marks? And how old are you, Gail? Well, isn't that nice? And what do you think is the answer, Gail? No, it's not Donny Osmond, honey, but happy birthday to you anyway. Bye now, Gail.
I see you dancing on my feet.
Excuse me, miss, but I'm a little stiff from polo.
Well, I don't care where you're from, fruit bar. You step on my toe again, and I'm going to put your dentist in a new tack bracket.
And now these wise words about U.S. savings bonds from the Washington Redskins' sensational running back, Dwayne Thomas. Thanks, Dwayne Thomas, and I'm sure we all agree with that.
If you need help, call the FBI.
You are listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
XM Comedy.
The Megaphone Newsreel marches around the nation, across the seven seas, and right into your face. Albania. Amid the ancient pomp and splendor of this tiny mountain kingdom, thousands cheer as their beloved 89-year-old monarch, King Zog, rides home to the historic Gypsum Palace after his annual visit to the dentist, waving a clean bill of health before our Megaphone newsreel cameras. Argentina. World leaders gather in the stately Palace of Marbles in Buenos Aires as the world celluloid crisis mounts. The hopes of these school children mirror the hopes of all mankind for a speedy solution to this grave emergency. Statesmen from many nations gather together to ensure a world free from celluloid shortages forever. Detroit. Police in armored cars raid an abandoned skyscraper here in America's famed Motor City and seize more than $10 million worth of stolen muffins, breaking the crime ring that has terrorized bakeries throughout the Midwest for months. The Megaphone newsreel cameras are on the scene as bulldozers begin the task of destroying this 100-foot-high mountain of muffins. Southampton, England, and the luxury liner Catastrophic docks after a six-day voyage from New York City. Among the passengers, Hollywood's lovely musical star, Nita Olay, who tells reporters and our megaphone newsreel cameras she was married at sea to the ship's captain, with her leading man performing the marriage ceremony. Congratulations and best wishes to Nita Olay, Hollywood's lovely musical star. Mississippi. Floods ravage the lush Mississippi Delta, and our megaphone newsreel cameras take to the air for a bird's eye view. An entire town lies underwater. Hundreds are left homeless, power lines down. A million-dollar disaster caused by an overflowing bathtub. A grim picture of nature on the rampage in Mississippi. Finland. And here in Helsinki, it's the world's tricycle racing championship as 40 competitors speed over a twisting 10-mile course in pursuit of glory. Thrills galore and spills galore. Our megaphone newsreel camera catches the winner, Loopy, the fabulous Finn, as he crosses the finish line in a record 3 days, 32 minutes, and 6 seconds. And the world's largest lollipop goes to the world's new tricycle racing champion. New Zealand. Last stop on U.S. Goodwill Ambassador Dodwell Buncombe's world tour to further understanding between cribbage-playing nations. In a solemn ceremony at the Tubahuta Geyser, Ambassador Dodwell lays a wreath commemorating the unknown cribbage player and lays it again and yet again as the playful geyser sends the wreath sky high. A moment of humor in a somber ritual as mankind dedicates itself anew to the principles of cribbage. Hong Kong, motorcycling garbage men on parade. The latest shock troops in the age-old war against garbage strut their stuff with fancy turns and maneuvers as dignitaries observe and appreciative school children watch. Motorcycling garbage men, a modern new weapon in the search for a cleaner, healthier tomorrow. The megaphone newsreel marches around the nation, across the seven seas, and right into your face.
Hello. This is the Charlie Chaplin Joke of the Air Service. Calling in today's classic Charlie Chaplin joke.
All right, go ahead.
How many Charlie Chaplins does it take to walk off into the sunset?
I don't know. How many?
Four. Two to waddle, one to tip his hat, and one to twirl the cane. Thank you.
Hey, buddy, want a sour crack mustard on the dog?
No, I just need some butter and some cinnamon sugar. Okay.
Hello, 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 Mr. Greg Smith. How are you today? Okay, we're going to throw it wide open now, Mr. Smith. So can you guess the identity of any of our mystery primals? Just name any one. Number three? Yes, Greg. Jim Bailey as Jackie Kennedy. Is that intended as a serious answer?
Hello, I'm the Lone Ranger. Every year in America, thousands of babies are born with masks on their faces. I know because I was one of them. It's a long, hard fight to build a normal life when you're born with a mask on your face, and some never make it. Won't you help put an end to the heartbreak of this tragedy? Send in your contribution in silver, please, so that medical science can find a cure. Thank you, and...
Well, silver!
Time once again for our crossword puzzle. One across. Ancient Scottish name for a church steeple. Got that? One down. A small bone in the foot. Two across. Queen Victoria's favorite niece lives here. Two down. The delirious fumbling of bed clothing. Three across. An acid used in making silver plate. Three down. The state flower of Wyoming. Four across. International distress signal. Five down. A meeting place. Five across. An expression of disapproval. Six down. The study of ferns. We'll continue our crossword puzzle next time, so keep your pencils right by the radio.
To the National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Hello, Alice Margolis. Bet you'll never guess who this is. You're right. And let's see if you'll be right in guessing the identity of one, anyone, now, of our mystery primals. Oh, Alice, honey, you disappoint me. Joe Garagiola is close, very close, but not it. Too bad, Alice, but just because I like you so much, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a whole case of Carnation Instant Milk, absolutely free. How about that, Mrs. Margolis? She gives it to her dog. Isn't that terrific? Thank you, Alice Margolis.
Okay, quiet, please. I just want to have all our straight men for a run through today, so if you please, gentlemen, up around the piano and we'll get started. Because I just want to hear your straight lines today, see how you move, see your work, et cetera, et cetera. So keep it going, keep the pace up, just the straight lines. Start it off.
Okay, you want to go first?
No, I don't care.
Anybody, come on.
Oh, you want me to start?
Okay. Yeah, you. Okay. One morning I shot an elephant in my pajamas. I'll keep it up. Just keep throwing them out. Go ahead.
I just want to warn you, anything you say will be held against you.
Next. Come on, gentlemen, please. Come on.
Say, what are you taking for your cold?
You know, some of these baseball players really have funny names.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
I know a man with a wooden leg named Smith.
Well, just how fat is your wife?
You say you just flew in from the coast?
I hear your brother-in-law just found a new job.
Oh, waiter! There's a fly in my suit!
The trouble with you is you've got no scruples.
Have you ever had this before?
Your Honor, the next defendant is a misdemeanor.
Why are you looking for your dime up there?
What, are you really scared on your wedding night?
You say you've got a dog that can walk on his front legs.
Would you call me a cab?
You mean this is the first time you've been out with a pretty girl?
Walk this way, please.
Hi, I'm Brown from the Sun.
Say, what do you call that haircut?
How do you like children?
Well, why do you call your baby melancholy?
Do you know Poe's Raven?
Oh, really? I didn't know you were a thespian.
What's a Grecian urn? Does that cure chap lips?
So you think I should be on the stage, eh?
How'd you get that shiner?
Well, why didn't you change your seat?
I thought I told you. Right face! Right face!
Did this bus go to the loo?
How'd you like to join me in a cup of tea?
What do you mean you never saw $1 million?
But how did the car end up in the kitchen?
Do you serve crabs here?
Don't you know this is a one-way street?
Who stole the Liberty Bell?
So bad about having to make your own bed.
You know what the trouble with you is? You got sex on the brain.
Are you in Asia? Did you visit the Himalayas?
What's a buccaneer?
I understand. You buried your wife.
What did they feed you over there?
How cold is it in Minnesota?
See a doctor. I'm busy.
Well, I hear Jackie Gleason's on a diet again.
Is it true you don't drink anymore?
How do you like it?
You say your hotel room was a little cramped?
And, what do you think about those hippies?
It was so dark, How did you know she was wearing glasses?
How far is the old log in? You show me something in a negligee.
All right. What do you feed that chicken?
Don't you know that dog is man's best
Amazing.
Friend?
Amazing. And how did it all finally turn out?
Did you think you were drunk?
You'd smoke after sex.
No. They're thinking of sending a woman to the moon.
What's the fastest thing
I You
mean?
Look tired. How do you sleep? Why didn't you ring for the
steward? You stewardess?
Have some All right. You're a cat.
While you were in Hollywood, did you make any pictures?
Hold it. Someone sneaking a gag line back there.
He did.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry. Funny
guy. Funny guy.
Look at Milton Berle back there.
Yeah, you're funny.
And right this minute, it's time to reveal the answers to this week's Primal Time Contest. Our three screamers were... Lorna Luft, Judy's little girl and Liza's sister, and a very talented performer in her own right. Andy Granatelli, TV personality and sports figure. And Ivy Baker Priest, former Secretary of the Treasury and America's First Lady of Money. We have no winner for this week, so our jackpot goes up. And we'll be back next week with three new Mystery Primals.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Yoni Mitchell.
Hello world, how you put me through hell? And the better I tell it, the better it'll sell. How you made me make your breakfast? How you made me make your bed? Now I'm gonna go and I'm gonna tell the whole world every true word you said. Oh, you old magic, you don't set. You somewhere flash your eyes. That you jockey short for red, that you really like instant coffee, and you still want the bed. And if you don't believe me, then you're a dumber son of a than I thought you were in the first place. And I didn't think you were too smart to begin with. You told me that you liked the way I sang, but when I put on my record, you know you were up and at the door with a bang. And you can still hang your hat on my hat rack in its time, but if you won't listen to me sing about you, then you know that you ain't no friend of mine. Oh, you old mucker, you thumb sucker, you mother of a shrine, love. You darling, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
While we wait to join Mission Control in Houston for an update on the doomed U.S. space capsule and the five dying astronauts, let's take this opportunity for a timeout and a word from some folks a lot closer to home.
Hi, it's Joe back again, hoping you've enjoyed yourselves as much as we've enjoyed having you with us. Contributing to tonight's National Lampoon Radio Hour were, in alphabetical order, Michael O'Donoghue, John Belushi, Ann Beach, Jeff Berman, Polly Beer, David Bloom, Chevy Chase, Bob Colonna, Wendy Craig, Warren Dewey, Sammy Fain, Gary Goodrow, Jerry Graham, Christopher Guest, Nate Herman, Bob Hoban, Judy Jacqueline, Sean Kelly, Doug Kenny, Bob Mariani, Bruce McCall, Brian McConaughey, Chris Miller, Bob Perry, Mark Rubin, Marilyn Sokol, Betty Stamm, Bob and Cookie Fischer, Gus Van, and Jack Yellen. Featuring Wally Cox in his 1952 Bach classic, What a Crazy Guy. Good night, and God bless. Honk, honk, why it wobbles the goose.
The situations portrayed in this program are purely fictitious, as are the characterizations.